Can I just check? Can you hear the crows that are going off outside my window?
Yes.
No? You can hear them? Oh my God. Let me just mute for a second. Hang on. Hang on. Just one sec. I don't think you want to hear me yell at.
These are the odd things that happens when you have a colleague from Australia. In today's episode, we're diving into a topic that's transforming the way businesses view and use their workspaces. It's called Space Management, Planning, and Occupancy, or SPO for short. SPO combines design and data to optimize space. Think of it as the magic behind the scenes that helps companies make the most out of every inch of their office space. So let's get started. Hello, everyone. My name is Kay Barrett, and today I'm joined by Laura Bailey, and we're your team around the table. Today's topic is space management, planning, and occupancy. And we'll share specifically how we're moving clients from a very reactive to a very predictive and proactive state in evaluating their portfolio. But first, let's get to know Laura. Laura, welcome.
Thanks for having me. It's early hours in the morning here in Australia. I'm filming in Perth, and our local wildlife is just waking up. And if you listen closely, you might hear a kookaburra or two soon.
So as we talk about being up at night, Laura, I wondered if you could share kind of maybe the thing that you think is keeping our clients up at night, because certainly the world has changed a lot after the pandemic. And what has that really done within our industry that you find as you speak with clients?
Yeah, it's interesting because, as you said, everything has changed. There is new data available, and it's really starting to kind of become a bit overwhelming. There is Wi-Fi pings and Zoom analytics and team insights and Outlook measurements. There are so many more than just looking at your badging data, which is generally speaking what we were looking at pre-pandemic. Now we're really opening the door to looking at all of these other insights that we can now gain. You know, we're in a very data-centric world right now, and it can become really overwhelming for them to kind of say, what do I do with it? And how do I take that data and understand it? And I think that's really one of the biggest challenges for our clients at the moment.
Yes, certainly that complexity of data, it leads us to have to develop new solutions as we move forward. I believe strongly that data needs to be governed. And I believe that the most successful results that we've seen for clients is when we have a great governance program around the data.
Definitely. You know, without clean data, we're going to get horrible results on the outside and a lack of trust. And I think that's where our clients really want to be able to trust their data. And years ago, that was always the nervousness, I think, from clients of, but can I trust it? Is it really true? And data governance and being able to put data governance initiatives in place, which we do as part of the platform as well, really gives our clients a sense of trust in their own platforms and the data that is going in. And when you have the ability then to take that data and turn it into a story that they understand, they need it in a way that speaks to them, that tells them, here's what your people need. Here is what we're seeing. And we are seeing a lot more confidence from team leaders, middle management that says, okay, I can understand this now. This is making sense to me. So I think data governance 100% is the core foundation to being able to have great analytics. Definitely.
Laura, as we think about our practice area, we see that it is certainly taking this change. We used to be very reactionary to either work orders coming in or projects being done. And, you know, the biggest change I've seen is we're moving from reactive to predictive. And a lot of our client teams come to us and say, okay, we've surveyed, we've asked people what they want. You know, we've gone through iterations of surveys in order to predict, but now what are people doing? How do we measure that? And how do we drive that into something that helps lead us into a strategy that informs us about what's happening? Maybe you could share how a client's initiative and the story that comes out of your data, where those two kind of come together.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it comes down to what you're trying to solve as well. I always say the first step is understanding, what are you trying to understand? What do you want to solve for? Is it them trying to understand what are people doing when they come to the office? Is the office a place of collaboration today? Is the office a place of socialization today? So there are so many questions, and being able to pull the data together in a place that then starts to make meaningful insights, being able to compare meaningful data sets together to be able to collectively look at one place and say, okay, I can see the impact. I can find the point in which this activity impacted the output. And I think that's where the story starts to build. When the pandemic finished and return to office was starting to come back, there was a lot of discussion in the market around people are coming back to collaborate. Everybody was talking about bringing back all of these wonderful collaboration spaces for people to use. And we did a study for a particular client in the mining sector. And we spent a lot of time trying to understand the activities that people were doing. Were they coming in and collaborating? Were they sitting around and socializing? And what we found from that, Kay, was that people missed the socialization. There was a real spike in the water cooler conversations and the kitchens areas and things like that. But predominantly at the workstation, people were doing focus work. They were coming to the office in order to focus, in order to have some quiet time. We didn't see our meeting room utilization anywhere near the same levels pre-pandemic. So I think the reason for coming back into the office, and it's just one example, but the reason for people to come back into the office has shifted. It has shifted. And we are now talking about designing spaces that really harness the reason why people want to be there, the types of environments that they want to work from. And those are the sort of questions that we're really getting from clients today. When we're starting to move into predictive analytics, it's starting to think of external factors that influence your choice to come to the office. It's looking at weather patterns and extreme changes in weather and how that affects the attendance that you have in the office. And it has a significant effect. So does traffic. So does accidents. There are so many external factors that come into play with someone's choice to come into the office. And by looking and including some of those external factors, you can start to really understand what to expect from an attendance in your office and what a regular, what I call the heartbeat rhythm of an office. And it is different globally. Every city has a different heartbeat. You know, when you visit a city, it has a different way of operating. It has, you know, it has its own feel. It has its own soul in every city of the world. And it's no different in the workplace. Those sorts of influences from where you live influence how you show up. And so I think, you know, we're really starting to move into a space, okay, that takes our clients away from just what's happening in four walls and really thinking about the culture within the office, but the culture with outside the office that is going to affect what they, you know, what their staff choose to do.
Well, and it's interesting when we think about moving from reactive to predictive, I think that understanding the action that needs to come from those insights is critical. You know, we've seen a lot of our clients pilot certain new work styles in certain spaces on floors, and then they wonder, is it working? I think you had done a study that looked at a particular space that was renovated And everybody was kind of trying to figure out, does this renovation work? Is this something that we really could or should duplicate into other buildings? Maybe you could just walk through a bit of what that study proved and shown to us.
Yeah, that was a really interesting one. So I guess to set the scene, the question was exactly that, Kay. We've built a space, we've moved to a new way of working, we have a really high sharing ratio, we don't think many people are coming in, but we don't know if it worked. And we want to be able to explain to our executives, was this a good investment? And I think this particular scenario was a building that was within a campus and it was the only one that had been refurbed. The other challenge we had with this particular client who was in biotech, we had some privacy concerns. So whilst we could get a level of data to give us a daily sort of attendance and a daily reservation count and also a daily sensor utilization count, we couldn't understand it at a person or business unit level. So that posed a little bit of a challenge. But as we brought the data in, what became really obvious in when we crossed all of that data together and we looked at it collectively, we could see that they had a really great behavior of reserving their desks and turning up, because we could see that relationship between the reservation and the sensor activity. So we knew that from a behavior perspective, their change programs had worked really well, that people were reserving their desks regularly, they were coming in and they were using the desks that they had reserved. But their desk utilization and their sensors was only 50% of their attendance rate. So the question remained, where are the other 50% of people going? And because we couldn't understand at a person level who was actually attending the office, we came back to the client and said, we're realizing we're seeing this insight, we're seeing this relationship, but we can't dive any deeper into this. And the client said, oh, that makes sense. We built this beautiful cafe area and it's on the inside of the security gates and we've given access to everybody across the campus. And what we're seeing is that people from all the other buildings want to come in and use that cafe and we're getting fantastic utilization of the cafe, but they're not necessarily going upstairs to use the office environment. So it was a win and in the sense that the design for the cafe had worked. It had created connection. It had created socialization. It had brought people together that wouldn't necessarily see each other on a daily basis. It had provided space to a wider part of their community rather than just the office residents. So it was a fantastic win from a design perspective. But when we looked at the data, it had inflated our attendance results because we couldn't zoom in, Kay, into that. And I think that really speaks to where clients are going today and what they need to do in order to really understand what's happening is zoom in and really look at what's happening in the most amount of detail that they can. It's also, I think, really important to understand from an IFM perspective or from a facilities management perspective, what's happening with our assets, what's happening with our spaces, you know, what the plans are for that space in there, the feedback that some of our concierge staff are hearing. So it's all of these different service lines along that then influence and we understand a little bit more on a human level why we're seeing the results. So I have a question for you, Kay. What have you seen change in the way we deliver our services over the last 5 years?
You know, we were a service line that was typically very tightly integrated into projects and facility work orders or capital projects. And what I have seen in terms of a shift is that we have really a strong collaboration and need to interlock with our strategy teams. And that's predominantly because we are gathering these insights and this data, which helps inform the new real estate strategy that we're developing and that we're placing in front of a client. I think what that causes us to do is really be a bridge between what is a very proactive, predictive, long-term look at a client's portfolio to how do we action that through shorter-term objectives, or, you know, perhaps through an operational plan. So certainly we're still focused on what the capital plan might be and the operational expenditures, but we're very much more focused on how do we help shape and form that strategic longer-term goal and longer-term initiative through measurable behaviors and through our insights that we've gathered in data. There's not a right answer for every client. We talked a little bit about benchmarks and the fact that, you know, it used to be very simple to say we have 185 square feet per person, and that was the plan. And now with this influx of data, it really is, I use the word, it's really a cultivated, really unique solution for every client. And so we don't come out of the box saying this is exactly the way that you need to think about your real estate and your occupancy. It takes time. We have to get to know the client. We have to get to know their objectives, because it is going to be a huge collaboration, and it's going to be something that is uniquely formed a solution for them. And so for me, that's really the largest thing that has changed, is this unique application for each client in each client's location.
Absolutely. I think customization is critical, because every single client that I get to work with is different. They have different objectives. They have different types of people working for them. They're in different locations around the world. They have different goals. They have different type of leaders. And one leader to the next leader can make a huge difference in the way that they approach their strategy. So, yeah, I think customization is really important to be able to understand what is happening specifically at that client's sites. And you can compare. Yes, I think benchmarking still has a somewhat valid place, but it's not necessarily to benchmark yourself against other people. It's to look at insights from other companies that are in similar technology or healthcare, or, you know, whether it's mining, in similar industries, that allows you to say, okay, what are they doing? And how is it working for them? And it's no longer, oh, I need to be on the same level as this other company that's sitting in technology, that's performing at a higher ratio, or it's sharing its space more, or it's got so much less space per person. It's not necessarily benchmarking yourself. It's sharing knowledge across an industry that will help guide you on opportunities. So for me, benchmarking and the purpose of that has changed, and being able to customize these sorts of outputs really does put a new lens. It zooms into what's important for that client.
I think it's an interesting change, Laura, as you think about, because there's so much change occurring, that alone breeds a lot of development of new ideas. And I think that in and of itself, not having the answer and the same answer all the time, leads to this exciting journey in real estate, and allows us really to co-create with a lot of our clients. Our best clients are those that allow us to grow with them, that don't expect the perfect delivery, expect a partner-led delivery. And I think for our folks that are inquisitive and really want to dig deeper with a client, and a client that is open to that and open to some stretch goals, those are the best partnerships, right? Those are the best success. It's a much deeper, richer relationship.
Definitely. And I think being able to know that you are co-creating together, it makes for building solutions so much more transparent and so much more honest. And when we are a partnership and we are doing this with the common goal of being able to improve, then it makes the delivery, one, so much more successful, but two, so much more fun because everybody gets involved. And what I'm seeing is that when you co-create with a client, if I come in and I create something for the client and I just give it to them, they may look at it once, maybe twice, and they may say, oh, this is great. This is a great piece of work. And then they move on to all of the other pieces of work that they need to do. The highest success that I have with clients is when I co-create with them, when they are just as invested with me on the journey as I am. And then you see, oh, I use this every day. We're getting so much out of this. These are all the outcomes. So I think co-creation and that partnership is critical in the success for both us and our clients.
So that's it's been a fun time. If you love change, this has been your time.
Absolutely.
Laura, thank you so much for joining us today and for talking about really what was a very reactive service to looking at data for our clients and making it more predictive. Thank you.
No worries. It's been a great time. Thanks, Kay.
Thank you all for your time today. Thank you for spending time with Laura and I and the team around the table.